All right, welcome back to the Minnesota Sports Unfiltered Show, the Minnesota Sports FU Show, where misery loves company. I am very happy to be back with you again this afternoon. It is Tuesday, the 13th of December, and I'm flying solo today, although hopefully we're going to have some friends of the program and hopefully some new friends also calling in to chat with me about all things Minnesota sports from the fans' perspective. That's what we're all about here at the MNS FU Show on MNSPN.com. You've got the other shows the Jim does with the professionals, the guys who cover the specific teams. That's where you go to get the professionals' opinions and insight into what's going on with these various teams. But this show is for the fans. We're not professionals. We're just long-suffering Minnesota sports fans from these godforsaken teams, and that's what we're here to talk about, to get those complaints and that agita and that anxiety off of our chests and maybe just maybe feel a little bit better about life for having done so. So let's get right into it. Lonnie is off on assignment. So like I said, this will be I'm flying solo today, so go easy on me. And anyway, let's start out, as always, with the misery power rankings. Currently, from least to most misery-inducing currently in the Twin Cities, 5-4, I don't really care about this week. I've got the Lynx and the Twins in those two holes. After that, Wolves, Wild, Vikings. And let me, give you the rationale for why I've got the Wolves in third, despite the fact that they are 6-18 currently today and sitting last in the conference. I've got the Wolves in third only because the expectations of them are so low. You know, the perception is very low of the Wolves right now. And given that, you know, off season coming into the season, expectations were a little higher, obviously, or there was some excitement anyway, if expectations weren't actually higher. But nonetheless, a 6-18 start will crush a lot of those off-season dreams rather quickly, and so that's why I've got the Wolves in third, and then Wild in second. Look, points of 9 and 10, but the only reason they're as high as they are is because, you know, they're one of the three teams that's playing right now, and I couldn't put them in first because that has to be reserved for the Vikings. Now, before we get into that, I believe we have Heather on the line. Heather, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Heather Rule, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for calling in. Good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, let's see, before we jump, I want to talk some Gopher Hoops with you because I know you're covering that now for a competitor, but that's all right. Nonetheless, I do want to talk some Gopher Hoops, but before we jump into that, you saw Brandon yesterday. You were at the Russo Suhan live recording yesterday at Hell's Kitchen, were you not?
I was, yes.
And
yeah, that was my first time at Hell's Kitchen, actually. I hadn't been down there, so a little different, but.
Did you eat or drink?
Yeah. I had the ham and pear crisp sandwich. I think it was really good.
Cool. That's cool. So, it sounded at least on the audio that I listened to this afternoon that it was fairly busy in there. Did it feel busy, and was it busy with patrons, or was it busy with podcast people, or could you not discern between the difference?
Yeah, I talked to Vicky, who's one of the kind of regulars that attends the podcast, and she was saying that it was definitely a lot busier than, like, the ones that they have at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it was for sure a lot busier. There was a group of, I think it was teachers from, like, northern Minnesota that were there for the podcast, but it was kind of hard to tell, like, who was there for it and who wasn't. But
yeah.
There were a few of us, you know, regulars, as they like to say, that were there. So that was good.
Cool. And, you know, we may as well knock off the Wild as long as we're on the Wild right now. But, you know, in listening to the show today, it was less negative than it had been recently, and I guess as a fan watching the team the last couple of weeks, I feel a little less negative than I have had previously. Where are you with the team right now?
It's funny. I can't remember who said it, if it was Jim or Russo yesterday, but kind of wrapped up the discussion and said something like, our next podcast, I think they're back on Friday, you know, we'll probably be sitting here saying they're terrible and they're the worst team in the league now, you know, if they, you know, lose a couple games. which is kind of how it goes. So,
I mean,
to be honest, I haven't been able to watch as much of them as I would have liked to the past couple weeks, just kind of covering other games and such. But I think it's been good to see, the one goal victories, I guess, when you can come out on top, that's definitely good. And anytime you can string together a few victories, whether it's, in overtime or shootouts or regulation, getting the 2 points is kind of a big deal. And I think Russo said yesterday too, like it doesn't necessarily seem like they're playing that well or playing so much better. It's just that, the bottom line is they're getting the 2 points. Obviously, when you wrote about Dubnyk, he's playing very, very well. And I think they're, it's kind of like, well, as long as they're getting the wins. I guess that's kind of my take on it. I'm definitely not as, I think you're right. There's not as much to be negative about right now until, maybe they lose a couple games in a row, and then there's always things to pick on.
Yeah, exactly. And, in Russo's blog today, he talked about Boudreaux warning against a letdown. You've got Florida in tonight. So that could be a game that they look past, certainly. And then, as Russo mentioned, historically, the holidays, players' families come into town, and that has been on a calendar basis sort of when they've started their slides the last few years. So whether that's a distraction or they just relax or they're feeling fat and happy or they're starting to read their press clippings, this would be the time previously in the last, like I said, last few seasons where things would have started to slip. So maybe that's something that, we'll look for in the, starting tonight in tonight's game against Florida. On the Wild, the other thing that I had written down that I wanted to talk about, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this. You talked about Dubnyk and how strong he's been. On the flip side of that coin, I was prepared to be all over Parisi for underperforming and having had a huge drop off in points, etc. Because obviously it looks like he's struggling in some way right now. But and then he's obviously been beat up the last couple of seasons for various things. But when I looked at the numbers, looking at sort of his career to date, before getting to Minnesota and then since getting to Minnesota, both in terms of points per game and percentage of total possible games played. So in other words, I have an 82-game season. How many of those games did he play? What percentage of those games did he play? Both of those numbers are basically the same, both before he gets here and since he got here. So, truly basically the same. So, before he got to Minnesota, he was producing at 0.82 points per game. Since he got here, including this season to date, 0.78. That's basically the same in my book. And then as far as games played, because, maybe the fewer points just meant that, it was because he had fewer points, but he was playing fewer games. Before he gets here, 87.4% of possible NHL games. Since then, since he got here, 87.2, so basically exactly the same. So with that perspective, does that change the way you look at Parisi? In other words, are we seeing what we should expect from him in terms of what he's done in his career to this point? Is what he's producing what he should be producing? And if I lay that out for you, does it make you feel at all different about him than you did 5 minutes ago?
Well, I definitely hadn't looked at those numbers. So I think that's for sure a valid point. I think it could make you look at Parisi differently, just by knowing that if he's basically, like you said, kind of producing the same as he did before he got here. It seems to me like he maybe has a really high standard for himself too, and what he wants to do in his frustration level. I think, if he isn't producing for a couple games, that's fans are going to pick that out. And, I think obviously he's someone that he wants to be out there doing well for his team too. So I think it might be, he's held to a little bit of a different standard. I don't know. To me too, I mean, he can't be the entire team either. And he has been hurt quite a bit overall, the past few years. I don't know. I'm not super down on him like I think maybe some people are, I guess. I see that maybe, you know, if he's not playing as well, but then there's other guys that I'm looking at. And, you know, Miko's done really well recently. Got guys like Hala and Nino and Zucker that are all producing well, too. So I don't know. I think, but I, you know, getting back to the stats you pulled out, I think that's a really valid point that I don't think people realize. I think maybe they just see that, oh, he hasn't had a goal in this many games, or look at how slow he is or something, and that's all they're focusing on.
Yeah, no, it definitely opened my eyes. I mean, I was writing a message board post to the effect of, well, he's really killing us. And then when I ran the numbers, I couldn't make that point. Like, once I saw the before and after stats, it was like, oh, well, if this is what he's always produced and playing the same number of games that he always has, then it's on us to be expecting something different. I mean, he's got, you know, whatever, you know, 10, 12 seasons in the NHL under his belt. So it's not like he's some, you know, third year guy. So I don't know. It changed my opinion of him a little bit, actually a lot. And it made me less frustrated with him in terms of what he's doing right now, and more sort of, well, I guess, you know, get it, you know, not that I need to, but maybe the issue was that for whatever reason, we built up our expectations higher than was reasonable. But here's another question for you in the Wild, and then I want to jump over to the Gopher B-ball team. But as far as the Wild, you know, not trying to be negative, right? But thinking about today, thinking about what I wanted to talk about on the show today, you know, points in 9 of their last 10, 4 straight wins, first time we had a 4-game win streak this season, 4 straight at home, et cetera. I mean, you know all the recent performance numbers. But shouldn't the playoffs be just sort of the base level or the basement of the expectations for this team for this season? And maybe the stretch goal would be winning 2 rounds, and the sort of optimal performance would be winning 1 round. Isn't that so? I guess to pull the lens out a little bit, would you agree with that? That the lowest level expectation would be just to make the playoffs. The sort of, you know, A grade would be win a round, and the A plus grade would be win more than 1 round. Is that where you were coming into the season? And if or if not, you know, whether or not that's the case, do you think that's still a fair, you know, expectation?
I think so. Yeah, I've kind of been in the camp that I've really wanted them to get through 2 rounds the past couple years, 2-3 years or so. Because it's just kind of, and everybody likes to talk about it, but it's kind of true, you know, ever since, you know, July 4th, when they signed Parisi and Suter, I mean, the expectations grew a ton. Yeah. And whether, you know, they should be able to live up to that or not, I think I've kind of gone into the seasons as, look, I mean, when you look at the playoff structure for the NHL, about half the teams are making the playoffs. Yep. Okay, so then obviously half don't, but you should easily be in that top half. And I think, I don't know, this year, I guess I wouldn't be surprised at anything that happens with them, because, you know, you kept thinking the past couple of years at some point, like, you know, okay, they're just going to get into the playoffs. Okay, they're going to get in and we're going to know that that's the expectation, versus what has happened, which is sneaking into the playoffs, having their January, you know, disasters happen, and this pattern has developed. So it hasn't really played out like that. And then when they've gotten to the playoffs, you know, losing the first round, it's kind of been unacceptable. You know, even losing in the second round to me hasn't been that great either, because, you know, you should be able to get past that. They had, you know, that one great run in 03.
Right.
And other than that, it's been playoffs, you know, early exits. And that, I think, gets frustrating. But I think my position is probably the same, but with it's a little more scaled back. Like, I, you know, wouldn't be surprised if, you know, honestly, even if they miss the playoffs, it, you know, wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me either. So I think, obviously, big test might be, you know, see how they do coming up through January here, where just historically they've kind of collapsed. I think that's something that everyone is sort of cautiously waiting for, because that's what they've done. You'd like to think that that won't happen, and maybe, you know, Bruce will go in and start yelling at them or something if they lose a couple.
Yeah. And don't forget, next week we've got at Montreal, at New York Rangers, back-to-back nights. That'll be a pretty good test, too.
Right.
Even if the King is not playing up to his normal lofty standards of late. All right, that's some good Wild chat. Before we jump over to Gopher Basketball on the way out of the Wild, I do want to take a moment to mention our sponsor and our guy, Tony Hoagland, your State Farm agent in Champlin.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you are one of them, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin can help you get to a better state, because he'll talk with you, listen to you, and help you put together a policy that has you written all over it, from cost to coverage, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin and officially get to a better state with State Farm. And you can reach Tony at 763-421-4900.
Okay, Heather, you are, among other many things, covering the Gopher men's basketball team. Just the men or the women, too?
Just the men.
Okay, just the men. For 1500 ESPN. First, yep. How's that experience been so far? How do you like covering the team? I mean, we talked about it briefly before, but, you know, now that you've got another couple of weeks under your belt, how's it going?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Like I told some people, admittedly, like, I'm much more of kind of a hockey guru, as I like to say. That's just a sport that I've watched much more over the years. And so I kind of looked at this as a good chance to really just get more in depth with basketball and learn more about the team. And I'm coming into it with sort of a different perspective than, like, people who are, you know, lifelong Gopher fans or even watched this team closely last year, which I guess maybe a lot of people dropped out from that since they only won 8 games. But so I think it's been interesting so far and fun to just kind of get adapted a little bit to watching basketball and just, for me, just learning more about the team and the sport and just kind of developing that, you know, those skills. So it's been good.
On their sort of their Sports from Hell show on Friday, I believe it was, Jim and JK and Lavelli Neal III were talking about all things. And one of the questions that, or the statements that Jim posed, was, you know, Boudreaux and Molitor and Zim and Tibbs. Who would have thought that, you know, arguably the most, you know, I think it was along the lines of, you know, the sort of the strongest coach in terms of, you know, pulling performance from his team so far this season would be Pitino. What's your interaction been with him? And, you've spent a little time around the links as well. And, you know, so how would you compare him to, like, a Cheryl Reeve, what you've seen of her and other coaches you've come across and covered?
So with Pitino, I mean, I haven't really had any one-on-one interaction with him. It's pretty much been just when I've gone to games, sitting in on the press conference afterward. But first of all, I mean, whether the question's asked or not, sometimes he'll usually try to bring up the fan support, which I think is really interesting. He's very, you know, thankful of the fans and their support. And I think it's kind of interesting. I'm still trying to get a gauge on the crowd so far. Obviously with so much else going on, you know, at the U or even just in the Twin Cities with other sports.
Right.
I can see who's in the crowd, you know, a few minutes before game time, and it's not very full. And then you kind of look after the game starts and it fills in a little bit. It's just funny to me that I suppose part of it is really trying to get the interest back for the team too, because after you had the year they had last year, you know, people aren't going to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I, But I've, you know, liked the things he's had to say. I think he's, you know, I think he's doing a good job with essentially a new team from what he's had last year.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously, so 10-1, we've got, I think, two more games in pre-conference, is that right? LIU, Brooklyn tomorrow, and then Arkansas yep. State right before the Christmas holiday, and then we jump right into the Big Ten season. So, you know, a 10-1, or even let's just assume, let's just give them two more wins here, you know, even 13-1 pre-conference, I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like given how college basketball works and how you schedule your pre-conference season, and then the history of this program specifically in terms of decent starts and then conference play being a whole different animal, I mean, I don't know that you can blame fans for waiting to see, you know, until we get into the meat of January, like you said, with the Wild, and start seeing them play against the big boys in the Big Ten.
Well, right, yeah. And that's, you know, that's kind of been the challenge so far, too, is for me even watching to just kind of figure out, okay, like, yeah, they're, you know, 8-1, 9-1, whatever it is, you know, 10-1, and they're winning all these games. But I know that's, I mean, and with the Gopher football team too, it happens
right,
where like,
right.
Oh yeah, they got all these wins. Well, yeah, but look at the teams they're playing.
Basically,
you know,
yeah.
So I think there's fans totally have that going on, and it's just like, oh well, who cares? It's non-conference. It's not the Big Ten, and you know, I understand that. I think there's definitely merit to that, but I will say I think it. I don't know. It's been getting said a lot, but it. It isn't last year's team. I mean, even if you're just basically looking at the record now, they've already surpassed their win total by a couple games from last season. And they have
right.
Amir Coffey. They have Reggie Lynch, who's, I think he's leading the Big Ten in blocks right now. And, you know, they have some new guys. Akeem Springs also transferred in. So they have some new guys on the team. And, you know, even though it is non-conference, you know, they could easily be, you know, 6-3 or something like that. I mean, just because it's non-conference doesn't mean
right.
these wins are guaranteed either. Because there are, you know, there were some games, and even the first half the other night was not good for the Gophers at all. And so there's little things like that, and you kind of look and you think, okay, they're not going to be able to do this or play like this in a Big Ten game, because how is that going to turn out, you know, with
right.
A Big Ten opponent? So
yeah.
I definitely understand the, you know, where fans are coming from with these non-conference opponents. But I, you know, as I wrote one of my latest pieces, it, you know, it doesn't mean you should just completely write them off either for this year and just kind of see maybe how it goes in the Big Ten for the first few games or so, and check out, you know, how Lynch plays and Amir Coffey plays, because they're probably the two biggest additions to this team.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think, didn't Michigan have a loss already this season, maybe even at home, but, so you're right. I mean, they still have to go out in these pre-conference games and play, and the other team is certainly trying to win. So, you know, it's your point is well taken. All right, so definitely catch Heather's coverage on the Gopher basketball team, and Heather's coverage on all the other stuff she covers everywhere else you can find her, including where I also hang out on Wild, which is wildextra.com. Heather, look, I do want to do Vikings and Wolves. I had asked you to come in and do Gopher hoops today, but you are, if you have time, you're certainly welcome to hang out, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I can...
All right,
and?
Cool. Sounds good to me.
What's Lonnie up to?
Lonnie is actually working, I believe. So
okay.
I don't know what his problem is, but I guess we obviously need to have a priority discussion with Lonnie. But nonetheless, you and I are here, and that's what matters. So that's all
right.
I care about today. All right, here's my piece on the Vikings. I just want to get my little mini Viking shtick off my chest, because that is why we're here. I think it's two wins in two of the last three games, I believe now. Look, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's at this point for this season, it's too little too late. They are, you know, they're in such a tough spot that, you know, they still have to win out and then hope, I think that they get some help from, certainly not from the Giants, because I don't think they can catch the Giants. So it would have to be, I think it's Tampa Bay would have to fall out of a wild card spot. And the other teams with Minnesota that are vying for a wild card spot would also have to not do well. So, you know, I mean, it does not look good for them to make the playoffs. But fine, don't make the playoffs. At this point in the Viking season, it's different shades of the same color of Vikings purple that we get every single year, which is they find a way to break our hearts and screw us and leave us feeling terrible either early in the season, which is frankly better than if it's later in the season, such as it was this year. So I don't care. I'm ready for the season to be over. I switched to DirecTV this year and I got the NFL package for free. And I was all psyched about it because the Vikings were supposed to be good. And then like 200 of their players got injured. And then now they're not good. And I didn't, you know, I mean, I had the game on, but it was sort of muted. And I'm done. Like, we've seen this movie way too many times for me to sit here and hope that they go 3-0. And don't forget, we've got an at Lambeau game hanging out there on Christmas Eve. So 3-0 the rest of the way, and then get all the other permutations of whatever has to happen. All the tumblers have to fall just right so that we make it into the playoffs. And then what happens? You know, we're going to get smoked by a real team if we get in the playoffs. So I don't care, right? I'm over the season. And will I watch the games? Sure, if I've got nothing better to do. But, you know, on that list, you know, of other things to do right now, I got to be honest, the Vikings fall somewhere below, you know, cleaning the toilets, but above, like, you know, I don't, something disgusting. I don't know. So that's why I'm with the Vikings. What's your care level on the Vikings right now, Heather?
Don't really care. I mean, I listened to this most of the second half of the game the other day, just in the car, and which I mostly do because it's just fun to listen to PA, really, just his ups and downs with the way he is. But I don't know. I think I kind of like to sit back and just see other people react to it. I think it's funny. You know, they had a good start, and then whatever it was, they were 500, and then I think they won a game, and then everyone was just like all excited again, and it was a big deal. And I don't know. I mean, my dad even said a couple weeks ago too, like, yeah, just, you know, write this season off, just focus on next year. And, you know, although didn't I hear that AP is coming back this
maybe,
year?
Yeah,
still?
He's targeting the Lambeau game. So, I mean, come on.
Okay. Yeah.
But the
thing is, you know, they're giving everybody this false hope. And like you said, everything kind of has to fall just in place for them to get in the playoffs, which is never how you want to go into it. You know, as teams talk about, you want to be kind of in control of your own destiny, and you don't want to have to worry about the, like, oh, we got to have this team lose and then we have to win out and all that stuff. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's fun to watch from my perspective of just meaning, like, fun to see the fan reaction on Twitter, fun to see even some of the media coverage in town and just see how they discuss it. But yeah, I'm not scheduling my life around the Viking games. That's for sure.
God, no. What little left is left of my sanity as far as Vikings goes, I want to protect for when it actually matters and they have a chance. I mean, look, they got the Super Bowl in Minneapolis next year. So at this point, retrench and try to come back next year. You know, the worst case scenario for next year is, at this point, would be you've got a serious quarterback controversy on your hands if Teddy can come back healthy. So, you know, I don't know. I just, this season has just worn me out. I cannot believe I would be the only Vikings fan to feel that way at this point. I got to imagine most of the players feel that way at this point. And forget it. Just move on. Let's just move on.
Right.
I'm going to ask you for a final thought on anything that you want to talk about in Minnesota sports right now. But before I do that, I do want to say two things. One, I was over at pristineauction.com yesterday poking around, and they have on there, could not believe this, it's a football helmet. It's got an orange sides and like some maroonish striping down the top. Black face guard, and then it's got a stylized logo that says the Dukes of Hazzard on the side, and it has been autographed by all three of the primary characters from the Dukes of Hazzard, the Duke boys and Daisy Duke. And this thing is majestic and breathtaking and awesome, and I want it. And so I guess I probably shouldn't have mentioned that it's there because I don't want to provide an incentive for anybody else to go bid on it because I need to have this thing. But that is the type of absolute wizardry that you can find at Pristina Auction, pristinaauction.com. Check it out. I did bid on it. I'll be honest. I bid on it. I put in a number that I was comfortable with, as that's how that works. And I've got my fingers firmly crossed that I win this beautiful, beautiful thing. And then finally, before we get over to Heather for her final thought, Krasinski, JK, I just think he absolutely encapsulated where, the sort of gestalt for Wolves fans, however many there are, a couple dozen at this point, which is just, he said basically when he was talking with Jim and their last show that, he understands that fans at this point are sick and tired of having to be patient for this team, that you shouldn't have a 13-year, whatever it is, drought for making the playoffs. You said it earlier talking about playoffs, that everybody makes the playoffs, that aspiring to be in the top 50th percentile is not enough, certainly not for that long in a sport where 50% of the teams make the postseason. I'm glad he said it. It resonated with me. I trust and hope that all of you who do care about the Wolves are listening to John and Jim. They put together a terrific show, and it's fun to listen to because John's got that great accent. So that's where I am as far as final thought. Heather, what's on your mind? Final thought for tonight.
Well, I was trying to think of what I was going to write next for Wild Extra, and I had tossed around the idea of talking about high school hockey. And just, I've been out covering a few games, high school games, and obviously it's very, very early in their seasons, but yeah. I think it's something that is still so unique to Minnesota. And from my perspective, I don't really know any different if you'd go to some other state, right, and, where there isn't hockey or they don't have this great state tournament. But just, thinking how cool that is that we have all these schools here and all these programs that are playing high school hockey, and they're great games too. There's a lot of talented players here. I mean, you just look at all the Minnesota kids that are in the NHL now, and I know there's typically like a lot of holiday tournaments coming up too for high school hockey. So I guess I would just encourage people that, or hockey fans, Wild fans, to, check out some of the high school games too. They're good games. There's good players out there, and, whatever it is to get into some of these ranks, it's going to be a lot cheaper than a night at a Wild game.
Absolutely.
That's for sure too. So.
Yeah. It's not the mortgage payment that it takes to get into the X.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It'll cost you like $8-$10, something like that. So maybe a hot dog's like $1 or something instead of like $6. So.
And there's no shortage of spirit or passion or any of that other stuff too. I mean, I would say that the sort of passion level from the stands is more consistent at one of those games by far than it is at the XL for a Wild game. I don't care who they're playing.
Definitely. So, yeah. And I think, especially at these kind of early season games too, I mean, it'd be good to get more people out at the rinks because it's easy to go support, even your local high school team when they're in the section playoffs or, obviously at the X for the state tournament, but, even going to some of these games throughout the season, I always kind of take a look around and see what kind of, student support they have. And, I think that's really cool that a lot of these people will come out and watch these, regular season games where, not much is necessarily at stake, but, they can still be fun, exciting games. And I think part of that too is because what I've always loved about it is these high school kids care so much.
Yeah.
They're not getting paid millions of dollars. They're out there working hard and love the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Well said. I thought I was flying solo today, but I'm really glad that I was not, because that meant that I got to hang out with Heather Rule and you got to hear her talk. Thank you so much for dropping by again, and we'll have you on again soon because it's always fun.
All right. Thanks. My pleasure.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of Minnesota Sports Fans Unfiltered. By the way, if you check our Twitter feed for this specific show, you can see pictures from the Dukes of Hazzard helmet. I tweeted them out the other night, and as I said, it is truly majestic. So for Brandon and Heather, this is Nick, and for Lonnie as well, thank you for listening. We'll be back with you again soon.